Hey, folks, welcome back to the DC3Cast. My name is Brian. With me, as always, are Zach and Vince. I say as always, as one of us is preparing for a trip to the grave, so it'll be just two of us next week. But
And then the other one.
I think there'll be a week of all three of us, and then another one of us will die, and then we'll at some point be resurrected. But until then, it'll be the three of us for this week, and we're here to talk about two comics that are coming out on the 5th of March 2024, starting with Batman number 145, written by Chip Zdarsky, illustrated by Jorge Jimenez.
Can you believe it's almost been 100 issues since Bruce didn't get to get married?
That feels like 100 years ago, not 100 issues ago. so much has changed.
I still can't believe they haven't started renumbering Batman yet.
Yeah.
That's an interesting little topic. What's left? Batman and
of the like really important titles?
Batman and Nightwing.
Superman.
No, Superman got renumbered.
No, it didn't.
It did. With Williamson? Yes, it did.
Yeah, it did.
Isn't right now Superman like number 8?
Yeah, it got renumbered. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm sorry. I was thinking about the other way. I'm sorry. I was thinking what still needs to be like back up to legacy numbering. My apologies.
I'm saying all the things that from Rebirth have continued.
Right. Yeah.
And I think it's only Batman and Nightwing, right? I guess like Action and Tech have stayed. They're numbering back.
I don't think those will ever get renumbered. Again.
Yeah.
Right.
Or if they will, it'll be a short term thing.
They will, and if they ever do, they will definitely put the original numbering on it somewhere.
Yes,
I'm fairly confident.
Yeah. Didn't the Flashes get renumbered?
Yeah,
that one's gone. I'm trying to think what else isn't. Yeah, is that really it? That feels too small. That's why I keep. Is it because we don't have a Harley Quinn book right now? Because wasn't Harley Quinn going for a long time?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it,
oh my god,
I don't know I when it got renumbered. It's in like the 30s right now, I think.
Is there one running right now?
There's a Harley Quinn book running.
Is there?
Now. Yeah, Teeny Howard is writing it.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
We're great at this job, guys. All right. Anyway, it's been almost 100 issues.
There's no way to know any of this information.
That is true. So. Truly, no way to know. We have not checked in on Batman in a while, but. Man, this just feels like a slightly upgraded retread of a story I've read a dozen times now. Yep. Not like the Zer part of it, but just like there's a quote better unquote version of Batman out there, and Bruce has to figure out how to take down the thing that he created, and one of the members of the family is going to align with this better version of Batman, and the city of Gotham is going to be really mad at it, and they've put up with Batman's bullshit for long enough, and this time it's the end. Like, we've gotten this story so many times. I don't know why we still have to tell this story.
Yeah, and I have to say, this is also one of the dumber versions of that, I think, that we've gotten. And I'll tell you why.
Tell me why, Vince.
What is with all the scenes of Batman's family being like, is that Bruce or not? Like, you've got to be fucking kidding me, because there's a part in this issue where Oracle says, you know, Bruce was compromised by Zur-En-Arr, and then the rest of the family's all like, yeah, but that really does seem like Bruce a lot. It's so stupid. I thought Zdarsky was a smarter writer than this.
I have thoughts on that.
Okay, I'd love to hear them.
I feel like now that we know that this is setting up for absolute power, that this is a straight editorial job. Like,
yeah, it better be.
That, like, he was kind of forced into this a bit.
Was he doing an interview on CBR and like blinking Morse code? I'm sorry, or something like.
I'm trying to remove it.
Yeah. What makes you so sure of this?
Just because, like, It now seems like this run was like pitched, like he was told you have to set up this character.
I don't know. I kind of feel like because it's Wade, and look, this is me being a Pollyanna about Mark Wade, but I feel like because it's Wade, Wade is a guy who has always played very well with other people's creations and other people's stories. So I feel like there's a chance that he saw 6 months ago Zero, that okay,
Oh,
we have.
I don't think that this is Wade's idea either.
No. Here's what I'm saying though. But like that Wade saw, okay, this is what's happening in Batman with Zur, this is what's happening in Superman with Brainiac. Maybe there's a way to bring all this together.
No, I mean, I'm saying I think Wade is being told what to do as well.
I see what you're saying. I thought you meant that
No.
editorial was making everybody else get in line for Wade's
No,
story.
I'm saying editorial is telling everybody like what to do, or Williamson is telling everybody like this all like sounds. It's kind of weird that Wade is the one doing absolute power when it seems like it's the culmination of everything that like Williamson has been setting up since Dark Crisis. Maybe he just didn't want to do another event again. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, I have here are some quotes though, okay? So this is the Bat family all like converging around Oracle talking about what's going on. And it looks like Tim says, "So the question is it actually Bruce or is it something else?" And then Oracle says, "He's been lost for a while now, Tim. I know we think Xur has infected him." And then Red Hood says, "It sure sounded like Bruce." It's like I know I've said this before, but like I think all of these heroes have been through enough of this where like they should recognize what's going on, you
Well,
know?
yes, especially because when you look at like the version of Batman that's running around, it
It's
clearly looks like a
not.
robot of some kind. When did Bruce's legs get so slender and metallic?
Well, he does tell Jason that like he nearly died and like uploaded his consciousness into the robot.
Yeah, but
But that's
man,
not
but it
him
does.
then.
It doesn't even sound like Bruce, though. That's the other thing. Like, he, man. Like, I just think the things that
Yeah, but that's just
he's
comics,
saying,
baby. That's just, you know, like
and
that.
I'm saying it's very dumb.
Yeah.
He says, "I swear I won't hurt you anymore unless you break the law."
Yeah.
Does that sound like Bruce talking to? I don't know.
I don't know. Bruce does suck.
He
He
does
does
suck,
suck, but
yes.
like this is so the culmination of everything just makes it dumb. You know, like if Bruce said that on his own, okay, I could imagine that being something he said. But like his consciousness, supposedly, from what he says to them, loaded into this robot body, mixed with the fact that they know Zurinar has been like poking around the edges, mixed with the fact that this robot Bruce is also kind of acting and talking a little more extremely and harshly than he has before. Like all of that stuff together, and they're still like, I think that could be Bruce in there.
I can
It just
maybe see.
doesn't.
I don't even think that's like the dumbest part of it because like after Gotham, like he was doing all this stuff during Gotham War too, you know, or Cat War, Bat Cat War, whatever it was called.
Yeah, but I feel like he was even more subdued than this. I don't know.
I don't know. We talked about how extreme he was then.
Yeah, we
I
did.
think it maybe works within the like it's consistent within the logic that Zdarsky has set up. That doesn't make it good necessarily, but and yet I mean I feel like it's easy for us as I don't know.
I mean, I'm just telling you how I felt while reading it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
Well,
was just
I think
saying,
that's
come on,
yeah.
man.
No, it is come on, man, 'cause it's like Brian said, we've read this story before, you know, and it's
Read it
like, do
before,
we
like
really have to
recently
go?
too. It's not like this is the digging up some Bronze Age gem that we forgot about. This story happens
No.
all the time.
No, I know. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like this, but I feel like there is at least like some logical cohesion at play. I don't know. Some consistency, even if it's just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm being harsher on it, but
I didn't know that Bruce had been gone for a long time. So it shows what I know.
yeah.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, Zach, and I think that there is some internal logic to this,
Yeah.
but I just feel like there comes a time where you have to make a decision about, are we going to tell a story that makes sense or a story that is fun? And there's a way to do both of those things, but a lot of times, like, what makes comics great is, you know, we talk about Morrison on our Patreon show, patreon.com/DC3Cast, a lot. And one of the great Morrison things is Morrison swings for it every time. And there's times that it doesn't make 100% sense, but it's fun and it's interesting and it's good. And I feel like when you're doing a story about Zurinar and you're like, you're doing this wild story, the emphasis should not be on trying to give it internal logic, but on trying to make it fun and interesting. And this is just not fun or interesting, and the internal logic isn't even all that strong. So it seems like it's the worst of all worlds to me.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
I mean,
It
go ahead.
also just this is way too like this Zdarsky story with Failsafe and Zurinar has been going on way too long
I
now.
mean, it's been since the beginning of the run, right? It's the first arc was
Yeah,
about
the first arc
Failsafe.
was Failsafe. That's crazy. That's like, please, I'm begging comics to like give me more variety. It's killing me. And we only read this because you guys didn't want to get Jurgens this week, so
I will take full responsibility for that.
that
I refuse to get Jurgens this week.
hey, that wouldn't have been good, but I guarantee it would have been, yeah, we would have clowned on it also.
Jurgen's writing in 2024 is something I really I'm trying to not
Yeah.
ingest too much of, or if I have to, like, at least make it Death and Return of Superman stuff, where that's my comfort food, right?
That is your bag, baby.
It is my bag, baby. Yes. I'm holding a book that says that right now. The reference again, Zach would not get yet. But yeah, all right. Should we talk about the backup here?
Have
If we
even less
have
to
to
say
say,
about this.
this is the I have mentioned that one of the comics we read this week, I just wrote "Who gives a shit" in my notes, and that's what I wrote about this backup. It's written by Zdarsky, illustrated by Michel Bandini, and it's a Joker story. It's another piece of the Joker's origin. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, my one major note about this entire comic, and it includes the backup in this, is there's so much that's been made over the years about how like Batman and the Joker are two sides of the same coin, blah blah blah, right? Like that is an idea that's been done a million times. But in this, you have characters that are literally saying that. You know what I
Yes.
mean? Like
In the dumbest way possible,
in the
too.
dumbest way possible. They've got this like Daniel Capdio guy
He really
who
does
was
the meme of like when you're a kid, you think the Batman is cool, but when you grow up, you
Yeah,
see that the
exactly.
Joker is really right.
He does. He literally does. He's an edge lord. He's an online edge lord who like shows up and he literally like tells the reader, I shaped Bruce Wayne's mind and the Joker's in the same way. It's really like they're two opposite results of the same. And I'm like, shut up. God damn it. We get it. We get it. The mere fact that like he trained both of these people, which is something that we've already been told. You saw it in Jokey Year One, which I did not read, but like just flipping through it, you could tell that that's it was about like the fact that Joker was trained by these people that were also in Bruce's past. Like they kind of had like parallel.
Which makes no sense at all.
No, it makes zero sense.
One, it has to be one of the worst retcons that I've heard.
The whole, point of Bruce's training is that he has the money to find the best people to train him. He travels all over the world to find the absolute... He travels to outer space in Jason Aaron's book to find the best people to train him. And those same people are willing to train the Joker because...
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I got maybe if you read it, it would make a little more sense. But like, it's also not clear. There's also like a three jokies thing going on that I don't totally understand. But like, point being, you understand. You like implicitly understand that you know, the Joker having his mind partitioned in the same way that Bruce does makes them have some sort of kinship, right? You don't need characters looking at you going, you get it, right? They're like two sides of the same coin, huh? You know, like, again, I guess I just thought Zdarsky was a more subtle writer than that. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but the, you know, from what little I read of like the Daredevil run that he did, that was a lot smarter than this anyway. I don't know.
Hello, denizens of Earth 1218. We are the hosts of Make Mine Multiversity, a twice-monthly podcast. I'm Jaina.
And I'm Elias. Make Mine Multiversity is your handy guide to all things Marvel. Each month, we get into it with long looks at the careers of Marvel creators, characters, themes, whatever.
Sometimes that means we dig into all things X-Men, sometimes we do a book club for Marvel series past and present, and sometimes that means figuring out which series is our heavyweight champion.
Coming down by good old Sky Laser to your podcatcher of choice every first and third Friday. Excelsior.
Excelsior indeed.
Let's get to our second book of the week, which is Blue Beetle number 7. This issue is written by Josh Trujillo, or Trujillo, my apologies, and illustrated by a really interesting group of artists, Adrian Gutierrez, Natasha Bustos, Howard Porter, Cully Hamner, and Scott Collins. We have not talked about this book since it debuted at all. Did we talk about Graduation Day? I think we talked about one of those issues, the miniseries that preceded this. I think we did, at least, maybe. But Vince, you're the one who suggested...
No way of knowing.
No, there's no way of knowing that, for sure. Vince, you're the one who suggested we read this issue, and you've been one of the major voices for us not reading this book, because I know you're not a fan of the typical art that we get for this title. Yeah. So what made you want to talk about this one, and what did you think of it?
Well, the kind of art festival that you've got going on in this book made me want to check it out. And I'm really glad we did, because it was a lot of fun. Which is also crazy for me to say about something that is a loving tribute to Keith Giffen, who, like, well, I appreciate his legacy and like all the characters he touched and created and redefined for the DCU. Like, I've never been a big fan of his actual work, but like, the tribute with all the artists and even the writing being clever sometimes and fun and a little funny. And I just really had a good time with it. I don't think it's a book I'm going to like stick with too much, because I don't like the primary style of the art that we get on this title. And I'm not really that invested in what's going on with any of the Beetle characters
at Beetle
this
Paul?
Point. Even Beetle Paul. Why? No. But I'm glad that I checked this out for the detour, especially since it's more or less kind of a standalone thing. I mean, not really, but you could treat it that way. So yeah, I'm glad we checked it out.
Yeah, I'll I'll more or less echo what you said. You know, some of the art is really fun, which is what you have, what you get in these, you know, art jam type issues. But more than that, it just felt like this idea of Blue Beetle having to show up in three different points throughout, like, you know, DC history in order to bring Ted Kord back. It was an elegant way to do that tribute to Keith Giffen. You know, whether it was the Justice League International stuff, or the Legion of Superheroes stuff, or just like the regular sort of beginning of the Jaime Reyes story. It let all that stuff happen. And then you throw in characters like Lobo and Gnort and Booster Gold and even Johnny DC, which I can't believe we got a return of Johnny DC, which I
Yeah, that was
forget where that
great.
started. Was that in the like back matter for something?
Oh, let me you keep talking. I'm gonna look
Yeah,
this
I
up.
meant to look it up before and I forgot to, but I obviously definitely
Oh my gosh, it
was that?
started in Harley Quinn in 2018. Is that
That was the
can't be.
first time.
That cannot be right. Maybe that's as a character, but I thought Johnny DC. Oh, you know what? That's this version of Johnny DC.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute. That's not even right.
Yeah,
No, that's okay. Stupid Wikia. This is specifically the New 52 Wikia. So
Wikia is so
I
confusing to
know.
use. It's
So
so
stupid. It's
bothersome.
so
Yeah.
stupid. Okay, no, it was in the 80s. It was a corporate mascot. And then it was a character in Ambush Bug from
Of course it was.
1986 to
That checks
1990.
out. Yeah.
That makes yeah, that makes a
Yeah.
ton more sense. The new 52 Johnny DC. Shut up. God damn it.
But yeah, but so to be able to do all this stuff in the guise of a Blue Beetle book that didn't feel, I mean, it felt like it was jumbled, but it was supposed to feel like it was jumbled, right? The fact that they could pull off all this stuff in an issue that doesn't feel outside of its own intent. Like it very well works within the confines it built for itself. And that's actually pretty tough to do. And by getting some of the, you know, people who have collaborated with Giffen in the past, I thought it was really nice. To me, this. Do you remember the issue of Titans Academy that was the George Perez tribute? This reminds me of that, in that they were both relatively well handled tributes that gave the creator their due without losing the thread of the story itself. And this actually does it better than that one did. Yeah. Zach, what'd you think of this?
Yeah, I like this. I mean, I feel like of all of us, I probably have the softest spot for Keith Giffen. And I love the art jam. I really like Blue Beetle and wish that there were more good Blue Beetle comics. And you know, I wish we had a Blue Beetle book that like really felt important to like the greater DCU. I wish Blue Beetle was like on a team. Like, oh man, put Blue Beetle on Titans, you know? I don't, maybe
Yeah.
he's a little young for that. I don't know what the rules are.
But
But
let him lead the Teen Titans now. There isn't a
yeah,
Teen Titans
sure.
book.
Yeah,
Give him a
we
Teen
need a
Titans
Teen
book.
Titans book. Yeah, we should do that. Why aren't we doing that? So yeah, no, I really enjoyed this book for what it did and what it was. And it made me, I think, like weirdly a mix of this and having read the awful Eddie Braganza Teen Titans in Wednesday Comics, but w where you know Jaime did play like a pretty decent role in that. Yeah, I just wish that I wish we got more. And I guess we do have a book that comes out every month that I don't read, so.
Did anyone have a particular favorite segment in this? I don't know if you want to necessarily identify the artist if you know sort of who does each segment. There were a few you could obviously tell who was doing what, but I'm not
Oh,
super
I know
familiar.
who did them all, so
Okay. So, does anyone have a particular moment that they want to shout out, a particular great art moment?
I mean, not necessarily like a great art moment because I don't think it was his best, but I'm a Legion mark, Legion and anything to do with Legion or Legion of Superheroes, all of that stuff. And so that was cool. But yeah, I think that was Howard Porter on that section.
Yes, definitely.
It was, yeah.
Not the best Porter necessarily.
Yeah.
The
I
I
like
thought the JLI segment
go
looked
ahead.
really good. Sorry.
Yes.
No, you're fine. You're
And
I didn't know you were still going.
well, I wasn't sure if I was either. And then I also just last thing, I did like the Cully Hamner section too. Yeah. No, go offense.
The JLI part, now, I mean, you know me, I don't have a great fondness for that era like so many do. But I did think reading, first of all, it was funny. Like the Maxwell Lord stuff was kind of funny.
Yes.
But I felt it was, I was surprised there wasn't more. That era is so rich and full of different characters. And they really didn't do anything with any of them outside of Max Lord and like Ambush Bug for a couple panels. Like none of the other characters are around. I was a little surprised they didn't do. They have a poster that features the team, like in the background, but they don't have any of the other characters really show up or do anything.
See, I actually think that's a good thing. I think
Yeah.
that it allowed the story to use that era without trying to shoehorn in like Rocket Red for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess. But I did like the if you're talking about an art moment I liked, I really liked Scott Collins's Lobo. Like, and again, I'm not a huge fan of Lobo. I'm not a huge fan of any of this Giffen stuff really, but I got to admit, like the way that Collins draws Lobo and the motorcycle especially, like all of that looks really great. It looks kind of like a different character from a different, entirely different universe or era popping into Blue Beetle's world when the reality is he's doing the opposite of that. He's popping into that world, but like it just feels like somebody breaking into this comic who shouldn't be there,
Right.
and I really liked that bit visually.
Yeah, I felt that this was I said this is a good use of all these characters. And like I said, I'm sort of glad there weren't more characters thrown in for no reason. Like everybody in here seemingly had a purpose. Even if it's a dumb purpose, it's still a purpose. All right.
It wasn't like, yeah, even all of the characters who were like working for Johnny DC and were chasing Jaime were all, like Giffen favorites. So it was, yeah, there's a lot of love there.
Anything else to add before we wrap up?
I don't guess so.
Well, then what comes out next week, Vincey?
Next week, we've got Action 1063, Batman and Robin 7, Green Lantern 9, Wesley Dodds the Sandman number 6, Red Hood the Hill number 2, Outsiders 5, Speed Force 5, Suicide Squad Dream Team number 1, Fables 162. I didn't know that was still going.
Yeah, it is.
I think that's the last one. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Sinister Sons number 2, Batman slash Dylan Dog number 1,
What is
Batman and
that?
Robin. It's
Dylan Dog.
Dylan Dog and Batman.
What is Dylan Dog?
Dylan Dog is an
What's Dylan Dog?
it's an Italian comic. This was published in Italy maybe 2 or 3 years ago. He's basically like a paranormal detective in Italy.
Okay.
And it was written for the Italian audience and got translated and released here.
That's wild.
Yeah,
Yeah.
from the mother country.
Absolutely.
And Batman and Robin and Howard number 1 as well.
Which I believe is a serialization of an OGN.
It is
Yeah.
correct.
DC's starting to do that now with more of its stuff, which is kind of a weird choice, but whatever. Anyway, thanks for listening. Go to DCPrecast.com for more, and we'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.
shit. I know what I'm doing later tonight.
Jacking off.
Yep.